Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Come on.
Yo, yo, what's up? What's up?
Yeah.
My name is Superfan Mark. This is CineScare. We're going out like a deer running through the forest, getting hit by trees or cars. I ain't a rapper.
Welcome to the CineScare podcast. I am one of your hosts, Matt Speak.
And I am also one of your hosts, Joe Jans.
And with us, as always, is the super fan, aka Rap Meister Mark, or Marky Mark, Mr. Mark Biscotti.
It's so cringe. It's really, really, really cringe.
And now, with us, as always, as well, is film critic from JoeBlow.com, Mr. James Oster, Jimmy O.
I think it's impressive that he actually makes Vanilla Ice sound really good.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, yeah.
Good for you.
No, Vanilla Ice isn't too bad.
He might be better than He Who Shall Not Be Named.
By the way, I got to admit, it took a lot of work and a lot of research, and it was a huge pain in the ass, but that intro, that rap that you made, is now my official ringtone.
Bullshit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry, Joe.
And it's awesome. This is the first time in years I don't have my phone on vibrate all the time.
Wow.
Yeah. Dear God.
You just want to hear your voice, Mark.
You guys should call me. Yeah.
I'll call you.
The only thing I'm impressed by that rap is that I actually kind of did it to the music. That's it.
It was odd.
Impressed.
I had people ask if we planned that or if we recorded that ahead of time. I was like, no. Was all just completely spontaneous. Somehow it worked horribly and perfectly.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah, there's Joe's ringtone.
Dear God, Joe.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. That's really good.
See, that's proof.
Wow. Yeah. Wow.
God.
All right. Well, that is another week. We'll see you next time, folks.
Good night, everybody.
Joe, inquiring minds want to know what you've watched this week that was not theme related.
Matt, you might not be aware of this, but I actually watched some other films that had nothing to do with the theme.
Oh.
First of which was apparently a film that you recommended to me years ago, The Deeper You Dig, from 2020 on Shudder.
Mm-hmm.
This is one of those Addams Family movies, the same family that did Hellbender. Yep. I got to say, great cinematography, great acting, decent storyline. I cannot find a whole lot of faults with this. It was a very decently paced movie. It kind of keeps you guessing. I really like this. People should watch this. It's about a girl that gets hit by a car by a local contractor, and the mother who's kind of a, she reads tarot cards, I guess, for a living. She's trying to track down her daughter who is coming back and scaring the daylights out of the guy that ran her over with the car. But you guys should watch this. This was good. I'm actually taking one of Matt's recommendations. And I totally forgot for the record that Matt recommended this, but I watched it anyway. Second film I watched, this was not a recommendation by Matt. This is one of those ones that I found off of TikTok. It's called Banshee Chapter from 2013. It was on Shudder. It starts off as a found footage film. It's about a college kid who learns about some sort of drug that the government created to sort of expand your mind, or had something to do with mind control. Anyway, he gets his hands on it and he takes it. And the next thing you know, he disappears. And his friend from college or coworker or something tries to track him down. And this really starts off as a found footage film. However, it forgets about half an hour into it that it is found footage, because next thing you know, all these camera shots are occurring and there's nobody else in the scene that could possibly be holding the camera. You know, they skip that one little part about having a found footage film, which is coming up with a reason for someone to have a camera nearby. This movie does have Ted Levine in it, You guys would know him as Buffalo Bill from Silence of the Lambs. He plays a Hunter S. Thompson ripoff in it. You know, he's one of those authors real into mind expanding drugs and whatnot. This movie had a couple, like three maybe total jump scares in it. Other than that, it's really not worth watching. I wouldn't even say that I'm putting this down because it's found footage. It's just, it was really kind of long and boring. Two other things. I started watching Ripper Slasher, which is the new slasher film or series, I should say, that's on Shudder.
The new season, yeah.
Correct. I only watched one episode of it. I think episodes one and two are out for this season, but I didn't care for it. What kept sucking me out of it is this is supposed to be a period piece with Jack the Ripper, but it's very contemporarily-ized. I don't know what word I'm trying to say. Anyway, too contemporary. It's so much to the point that it just completely takes you out of it. I don't know if I'm going to give I'll probably give episode two a shot, but that's.
Yeah.
Episode two is really going to have to impress me to go any further.
I had the walking pneumonia several years ago, and I watched the first couple seasons that I binged it, but I was sort of in and out of like a fevered state. But I remember that it was a big mixture of some really graphic violence and great gore and kind of brutal. And then like a weird, almost, I guess almost like melodrama. It was a strange balance. Season one, I kind of liked. Season two was okay. Season three, I don't remember at all. I think I slept through most of it.
It's better if I'm in a fever dream.
If you're in a fever, this. It might be better. Maybe. Okay. I don't know.
I'll see what I can do. Yeah. The last thing I watched, just because it popped up on Netflix, was the 2011 version, I guess, prequel of The Thing with Mary Elizabeth Winstead. And mm-hmm. I got to say, I think this is maybe the third or fourth time that I watched it. I keep finding new things that I like in it. It's really a solid prequel, in my opinion. Yeah. The only things that I'm not a huge fan of the spaceship towards the end. I don't know why. Like, I think it's making it too sci-fi for me. I would prefer it just not have this gargantuan spaceship that's buried under the ice, but they had to get here somehow. And if that's the worst thing I have to say about it, then it's a fantastic film.
Well, and nobody had that giant hat in it. So,
right. Which that sucks. But, but yeah, I could rewatch that movie a bunch of times. Actually, what I need to do is watch that and then put on John Carpenter's The Thing and, just get the full complete story. But, other than Servant, I think I'm midway through season three on that.
Yeah.
Still good. Still loving it. So that's about it.
Awesome. Jimmy, any recent horror movie viewings that you've seen?
I haven't seen much, obviously, not by what I'm wearing. No, I can talk about them too. I think they're open on social media. So I saw Beau is Afraid, which is coming out Friday, which is obviously Ari Aster's latest, Hereditary and Midsommar. This is nothing like those two movies. I don't want to tell you much. It's just wild and weird, and I think it's excellent, but I think it's going to freak a lot of people out. It's very funny, but it's also very weird, very unnerving, very unsettling, and very sad. Joaquin Phoenix is fantastic. All the cast is really good. It's really Nathan Lane was particularly good. Him and Amy Ryan are really good. There's such a weird, a very Kafkaesque kind of adventure, but like very fascinating film. It three times the charm for that director. It's not going to please everybody, but I thought it was terrific. Oh, and yes, I saw a little movie called Evil Dead Rise.
Nice.
Which, I think we probably talked on this about how it's a pretty solid series.
Oh, yeah.
Still a solid series.
Well, I think we've talked about at least two or three of the movies on this. Yeah. We watched the first one, I think, for one of the picks, and we watched, Oh no, we didn't we do it for your hair? Who Wore It Better, maybe?
Yeah, it was Who Wore It Better, I believe, right, Joe?
Yeah,
or something.
Yeah. I'm not sure if that was one of them or not.
It was Evil Dead 2 and the remake is what we did.
It was Evil Dead 2. Okay, gotcha. So Evil Dead Rise, I won't say much, but I will say that fans of Evil... I didn't like as much as the remake. I think the remake is phenomenal.
It's a great film.
It's a great film, but it's pretty damn good. It's pretty goddamn good. And it's tense. It's exciting. It's unnerving. There's some real gross out moments, and they got a cool, sweatshirt out of it. So there you go. I really like it. Cool. Yeah. Good. Couple of really interesting, good films. I recommend both.
Nice. Yeah. Mark, anything recent you watched?
Speaking of Ripper films that Joe watched, I watched a 1988 film called Jack's Back on Tubi with starring James Spader. A serial killer in Los Angeles celebrates Jack the Ripper's 100th birthday by committing similar murders. James Spader plays twins in this movie. One of the twins is murdered, and the other twin tries to find out the copycat murderer. It was an okay film, for like 1988. I always remember the poster, and it was nice to see James Spader not as a villain, but as the hero in the film. It was quite good. I also watched Poltergeist 2015, the remake, for the first time. And that's starring Sam Rockwell. Man, that was a hard movie to get through. It's so unoriginal. It's not scary. You didn't fall in love with the family like you did with the original. And it was really hard to get through. So that was a bummer. And that's pretty much it. I'm about ready to get started on Yellow Jackets again, which I'm excited about. And has anybody started Yellow Jackets, the second season, I believe?
Yeah, I'm caught up on it.
Yeah, what do you think so far?
It's good. Yeah. I'm with it, and interested to see where it goes. But yeah, it's very interesting, and I'm kind of very curious about where it's going to wind up, but. Yeah, it's good.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's it.
All right. I didn't watch much either. I did get to see a special screening of Malum here in Burbank, and the director was there, and a lot of the cast was there. In fact, I think it was very much mostly people who worked on the movie, actors in the movie, and the director. And I think it was. It was an early screening, and we just got tickets for it. And it was, I liked it. This again is a remake of the movie Last Shift. And it's very unusual because this director, he did The Last Shift, I think it was like 2017, if I'm not mistaken, about 6 years ago. And he got a bigger budget. He got more money. And instead of just doing a new movie, he decided to remake the first movie he did, only in the way that he really wanted to do it. And apparently, I heard an interview with him, and I guess he's worked a lot with Clive Barker. So you could definitely see a lot of Clive Barker in this new movie. There's even almost Cenobites in it. Not really Cenobites, but the creatures that start coming towards the end as it gets into this sort of fever dream situation were almost like Cenobites. But it's recast. It's not the same. I really liked the main girl from the first one. I think I might like the main girl from the first one a little better than the new one. But she's fine. This new girl's the new actress is fine too. It's about a rookie police officer who willingly takes the last shift at a newly decommissioned police station in an attempt to uncover the mysterious connection between her father's death and a vicious cult. And there's sort of a haunting thing, sort of a possession thing, and this cult thing. It's well done, very tense. I do think that people who have not seen the first one are going to love this. When you see this one, you're going to be comparing. And I liked the spare quality to the first one so much. And I think Joe really liked it as well. But this is really good. And it's definitely, it ups the ante on the gore, ups the ante on a lot of the effects and that sort of thing. So it's definitely bloodier. It's just more of everything. And also they leave, they don't leave the station once they get there, but there are scenes outside the station before. What are you laughing about, Mark? Oh, I don't know. You were smiling. I thought you had something to say.
No, I'm smiling. I'm listening.
Oh,
you're so entertaining, man.
I guess so. Yeah. let's see. And I think, the only other thing I want to mention is not really horror, but one of the movies that Jimmy recommended, was the Dungeons and Dragons movie. And I just want to mention that, I think Mark liked this one too. I really enjoyed it. I loved it. I had just a blast with this thing. I thought it was a lot of fun. It's a great adventure. It's certainly not horror, but I listened to another podcast. It's a horror podcast, All Colors of the Dark. And one of the hosts of that said, and I think this is a pretty good point, that younger kids would find this almost like a horror movie, like a younger kid. And it might be almost like a gateway kind of thing for them. I guess I get that there's certainly some demons in it and that sort of thing, but
Matt, it's more horror than some movies that we could talk about for sure.
That's true.
That's very much true.
We're not starting already.
Very much true.
I think if that's going to be a gateway into anything, it would be into the Marvel Cinematic Universe, because
I don't like
Dungeons and Dragons, but I liked it a lot better when they called it the Avengers.
Yeah, Joe always has something like that to say. One shot that is very much like an Avengers shot. Other than that, it's nothing like the Avengers.
I can think of at least two off the top of my head when they're all getting surrounded and they're all back to back with each other. And
that one for sure. And then, of course, shot's never been done before.
Yeah, it's never been done before.
And then, of course, when the constant beating of the bad guy by
that Dork. That reminded
That's
Avengers
Hulk and Loki. They probably used the same program file to do all the computer graphics for that, and they just swapped out one character for another.
Geez,
oh, jeez. I don't know about that. But
shot from shot.
But aside from that, it's nothing like the Avengers.
It's a fun movie. It's a really fun movie.
I will admit,
A lot of deep digs. Do you guys like notice, like, on Joe, Joe's like picture, he's got nothing in the background. He looks like he's in an interrogation room, kind of, doesn't he?
It sounds like there's
these
nothing
are my
in
new
there.
Digs.
There's an echo in the room, and it sounds like you've got nothing in there to buffer the sound at all.
I'm sorry, Matt.
I can prove it.
There's nothing in the room. He's got cinder blocks in there or something.
You got to put up like a blanket behind you or something.
No, this is fantastic. This is where I go to get work done. It is so peaceful and tranquil and serene.
But the sound is like bouncing around.
I'll throw a rug.
Yeah, I'm sorry, man. That's kind of what I was smiling about. I was going, Joe looks like he just got handcuffed or something for murder. Yep. And he's like getting interrogated because he looked so miserable when you were talking. And he's like, Joe's in an interrogation room.
Yeah, it does. It looks like somebody's got the light on him. all right. Well, I guess that's it. There's nothing else I saw that I care to mention. So, we can move on to Mark's pick.
Go, Mark. Go, Mark.
No, I'm not. I can't do it. Everybody, look around. Everybody, look around. Can't you see? I'm nice and safe and sound. I got nothing, man. I got nothing. I can't do it again.
God, that's another ringtone.
Well, this week is Mark's pick, and it was, what was the title that you came up with, Mark?
Writer's chopping block. And hand to God, look, I understand most of these films that I picked, they're not that scary. There's not many jump scares in these films that I picked. There's three films I didn't see. I didn't see Secret Window. I didn't see The Dark Half. And I didn't see In the Mouth of Madness. Those are the three films I didn't see.
You'd never seen Secret Window?
No. Oh, okay. No.
I thought you had.
No. That's kind of like why I picked it, because I always wanted to see it and it fell into the category. But yeah, I picked this topic because of reading Matt's novel, The Last House, last summer. And I probably haven't read a book in over 20 years. So when Matt asked us to read his novel for an episode, I was pretty reluctant about it. For one, what if it sucked? You know, that was the worst case scenario, you know, where you read your friend's book and it wasn't any good. And then you had to, you know, discuss it on a podcast with the author. But thankfully, wow, The Last House.
Faith in Matt.
Well, no, I mean, I didn't know. So thankfully, The Last House exceeded all my expectations. And I found myself enjoying reading again. And while reading it, it brought me back to the 80s when I read Stephen King books such as Night Shift and Misery. And I realized Stephen King had a lot of author-related stories. And I thought that would be a good topic. You know, besides, you know, one of my favorite horror movies was in that topic, which was Misery. So, you know, I thought it would be a great topic. And I was always thinking to myself, you know, thinking, oh, I'll do it this time. But then I wanted to do that. And then, but I think it's a really great topic to do. So, so are we ready to crack those fingers and sharpen those Black Beauty pencils? Or
yeah, let's do it. Let's do it.
Ooh, geez, Joe.
Joe, wow, you can do that. Joe's cracking his knuckles just by making.
Stop! Bricks. That is so.
Ooh, you're like a poster child for early.
How do you do that? Whatever. He just did his shoulder too.
You guys can probably hear this out there in the audience, but Joe is just—he's cracking his knuckles by just making fists. Mm-hmm. That's it. I've never seen that before. Oh, that's weird. That's frightening.
Did we lose Jimmy?
Yeah, Jimmy's be back.
He'll come back.
He got cut out.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, let's start. It's called In the Mouth of Madness. We're going to start with that one first. 1994.
What does Jimmy have to say?
I don't know.
Let's go to him first.
Who knows? An insurance investigator is hired to find a missing horror author named Sutter Kane, whose book seems to corrupt and make people go insane by reading them. Directed by John Carpenter, had no idea. Starring Sam Neill, Julie Carmen, David Warner from The Amazing Tron, and holy shit, Charlton Heston. That was weird to see him. I can't remember the last time I saw Charlton Heston in a film besides Planet of the Apes and the Ten Commandments. So that was interesting to see. This film has a surprising high score of a 7.1 out of 10 on the IMDb rating. And this is Carpenter's third film of his apocalyptic trilogy, the first being The Thing, then The Prince of Darkness. And a little Star Wars reference. This is Hayden Christensen's debut in film as a paperboy at the end of this film. I don't know if you noticed Hayden Christensen. This film, to me, was a little hard to get through. I wasn't really enjoying it for a while until like the end when things started getting explained, you know, with the pages and him being part of the book and he's being written. I wish they started a little bit earlier with this film, with that premise instead of the very end, because then it got really interesting, but then the film just ended. So I didn't think it was that scary. I thought it was a little bit ridiculous with Doberman Pinschers. It's a definite 90s film, but I was really surprised by how high this score was. And so many people love this film. So we're going to start off with Mr. Matt speak with this.
Yeah, I liked this movie. I remember seeing it when it first came out, and I really liked it. And I don't think it's great myself. I mean, I don't think it's certainly one of John Carpenter's best movies, but I'd put it maybe in his top five. I like the, you know, it's definitely has a lot of, H.P. Lovecraft references, and it's very much based on a lot of those H.P. Lovecraft stories. And of course, I love some Sam Neill. Love me some Sam Neill. Love me some Jurgen Prochnow or whatever his name is. I can't pronounce it. But I think this was also John Carpenter considers this a trilogy. It's the last of a trilogy of his that he called the Apocalypse Trilogy, which started with The Thing, then moved on to Prince of Darkness, and then In the Mouth of Madness. Well, I don't necessarily see The Thing in this, but I could see how Prince of Darkness is connected to this because it has that kind of something coming from an object sort of thing or from a story, and the darkness, you know, like an evil entity coming to Earth, like from a hell dimension kind of idea. The Thing doesn't have that. It's an alien thing. So I'm not sure why he calls it that, but that's what he refers to it as. Hayden Christensen. Another reference to H.P. Lovecraft was the hotel owner's name is Pickman, which is after Pickman's model, which was also, we saw that episode from Guillermo
Cabinet of those. Yeah. The Cabinet, Cabinet of Curiosities.
Curiosities. Right. French film mag cat. I can't pronounce this. Cahiers du Cinéma listed this as one of the 10 best movies, not just horror, 10 best movies of 1995. During the end credits, and I'm not quite sure why they did this, but during the end credits, only character actors' names appear. None of the main actors' names are in the end credits.
I noticed that.
I'm not sure why. Did that have something to do with the story? I'm not quite sure why they did it that way. But and then at the very end, and I did not notice this, so I went back and watched it when I was doing research. I read this. You know how they do a kind of a, it'll say that the Humane Society oversaw this and no animals were harmed in the film. After that message, it says human interactions monitored by Intergalactic Psychiatric Institute. The body count was high, casualties heavy. And that's just a little thing you could barely even see at the very end of the movie, during the end of the credits. But it is one that I like. I don't love it. It's not one of my favorite John Carpenters, but I appreciate it. I'd love to have seen this be a little more polished, though. And I think sometimes the story gets a bit disjointed, but I still appreciate it, and I thought it was interesting. So.
Yeah, Joe, what do you think?
I was thrilled that Viggo from Ghostbusters 2 was in this, because I don't think that guy, he had a very interesting career. I think, is it Wilhelm Avon Omberg? Do you guys know who I'm talking about?
No.
He was, when they got to the church and the dogs were coming out, he was part of that group of locals. And he appears with Sam Neill later on in a bar. But in Ghostbusters 2, there was that painting of Viggo, and that's the actor that played Viggo. And it was a deep dive, but I liked it. That Sam Neill is dressed to the nines for a freelance insurance investigator. I don't know what those guys get paid, but I mean, he's just living high on the hog. That office that he goes to, that publishing company, I've worked in publishing companies. That is the busiest office I've ever seen in my life. That's like busier than the New York Stock Exchange. I couldn't believe the people wandering all over that place with like ad proofs of things and, you know, like got to make our deadlines. Yeah. It was way over the top, way 80s, 90s.
Was that when you were getting rid of the breasts? you know, removing breasts.
Yeah. Well, no, that wasn't anybody, but
oh yeah.
No, it was nipples, but nipples. That never actually happened. Just in Matt's head.
God, I believe that.
Anyway,
I swear that happened.
I swear. It's like one of those
something I aspired to. It was one of those fever dreams that Matt has.
Who didn't listen to the podcast back in 2020? I mentioned when Zara Mahler was here as a guest, I mentioned the fact that Joe was a graphic designer in Chicago for Sears catalog, and that one of his jobs was to erase nipples from the bra ads. And apparently, Joe totally doesn't remember having done that.
No. And I go back and check my portfolio, but I don't think there's any nippleless bra shots in there.
I would think I would remember staring at nipples all day, but maybe not.
But I mean, if you would feel better for actual physical proof, I could go back and look.
I'd feel better for stories I can tell people.
Matt told me.
You can tell
this.
Him. I'm okay with that.
When I was roommates with Matt, Matt told me that's what Joe did for a living. And I 100% like bought it. I was just like, yeah, my family. My gosh, really what a proud. Job.
I've been telling this story for decades.
Anyway, speaking of stories, bad ones, that Linda Stiles in this, when she came on in the publishing house or in the office, I have this note that says, I bet you sooner or later that girl's going to let her hair down and take her glasses off and she's going to be a real knockout. And sure enough, I nailed it. That just happens all the time in the big cities. I thought it was really funny that I thought it was really funny that Sam Neill and Stiles are driving along and she's dead asleep. And Sam Neill reaches over to his glove compartment and pulls out a clown horn because everybody's got one of those in their glove compartment nowadays.
Hey, if you don't, you're missing out.
Yeah. I thought it was really,
you know, the other thing is how long did he wait to be able to have an opportunity to pull it out at just the right moment?
He probably put it in the glove compartment when he bought the vehicle. You know, I was like, sooner or later, one of these days, I'm going to need this.
One of these days, I'm going to have a moment.
I also wanted to comment on Sutter Kane. When he, takes off his jacket or there's another person, he's basically Quato from Total Recall, the Schwarzenegger movie.
Yeah.
When he had the other beast on him.
Yeah.
Lots of H.P. Lovecraft influences on there.
I loved the shot of Sam Neill though with the crucifixes all over his face and everything. I just think it's so amazing.
I thought it was weird that when he's in the car and he's trying to escape that town, he has no problem driving as fast as he can through a mob of total strangers. But the minute Stiles is anywhere near the car, he just has to, you know, brake and get into another accident. I don't know. It was
I say drive through her.
My biggest problem with this film is the ending. I think it's weak. I think it was cheap and easy. This whole just staring at a movie screen of what's going on, and I didn't feel like it was wrapped up very well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's just laughing at a screen with, you know, the movie of his life that he's watching now. I thought there could have been more resolution than that. I mean, we're just all supposed to accept that this is the way life is. And basically it's, you know, it's the apocalypse.
Well, I thought that when he was watching the movie, it was basically now that everyone's watching the film who didn't read the book, they're going to go insane too. And that's why he was laughing. He's going, the whole world is just absolutely fucked. I thought that's when he just went really mad at that point too. Right?
Yeah. But he's supposed to be our hero too.
Yeah.
It's not very heroic. He just sort of gives up on society.
Well, what is he supposed to do? He's just a character.
But that's the ending though. That's just the way it's not a happy ending.
No, that's why I didn't care for it. I needed a neat little bow.
You have to have a bow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. If it's not the mist, I want a happy ending. Yeah.
So did I.
Yeah.
I wanted a big musical number at the end or something. I don't know. The ending just didn't do it for me.
Okay. All right.
Jimmy, well, what do you think?
Yeah, Tim. James. James?
No?
Nothing? I'm not sure where he is. I haven't heard from him.
James?
I think he fell off face of the earth.
Did he text you, Joe? Or
no,
he?
But no, Jimmy, if you're listening, if you're listening out there, Jimmy, happy birthday.
Yeah.
It's Jimmy's birthday once again.
All right, Mark. Well, what's the next movie?
Yeah, James says, frozen completely. I only hear and see Matt. I'm going to jump back in. And then he's just gone. Yeah. All right. So we'll move on to the 1993 The Dark Half. We're going to hit that one. When a writer, Thad Beaumont, fictional alter ego called George Stark, wants to take over, bad things happen to Thad's friends and acquaintances around him. Starring Timothy Hutton, Michael Rooker, which I was surprised about, and Amy Madigan.
Oh, and Jimmy's back.
Oh, hi, James.
Hi. I heard you guys the whole time I was there. I thought you saw me. Like, I was waiting. I was like, uh-huh. And then you guys were like, oh, where's Jimmy? I thought you were joking for a second. I'm like, oh, fuck.
And he...
Let me know. Yeah. Sorry about that.
All right. Well, we've moved on to the next film. No, what do you think?
What did you think of In the Mouth of Madness?
Everything you said, Matt, I agreed with. It's yes, I heard all this. I actually like it a little less than you. I wouldn't put it top five of Carpenter's. Mm-hmm. I think it's an interesting attempt, but it felt like he as much as I love Carpenter, he has a couple of movies I just like vampires.
When you get out of top five, what else is there? With, I mean, there's Halloween, the Thing,
Halloween, the Fog, Prince the of Fog, Darkness,
Prince of Dark.
I would put Christine over this.
They Live. Like, yeah,
they Live.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh yeah, 100% Christine over this.
Yeah.
Film.
Yeah.
We put this in the. I mean, it's better than some of his films. Like it's, but there's also like I would put Starman over this. Not a horror film, but I think it's a fantastic film.
I've never seen Starman.
Oh, you're missing out. It's a good movie.
That was a good one.
But that's not a horror film, is it?
No.
Yeah, but that's why I specified that he's made some other movies that aren't horror that I actually really like too. I think Starman has a very sci-fi ET vibe, which is cool. But yeah, no, it's this one. I just felt like it was a good idea, Joe, about the ending. I think he was trying to go for the more weird ending, and I get what you're saying, but at the same time, I kind of think it was a little more interesting. I'm more on their side with this. I like Sam Neill's always great, and he's kind of the reason I think I like it more than I should.
I feel like it's almost like a David Lynch movie, but John Carpenter isn't a David Lynch kind of director, you know. And I think I would love to see David Lynch make this.
Yeah, someone who is a little more willing to go for the weird, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah,
I'd love to see like Ari Aster do something like this,
right?
You know.
Yeah.
Yeah. By the way,
there you go. That's.
By the way, was that John Carpenter on the bike as the old man with the horrible mask? It seemed like that was John Carpenter.
Probably, yeah. I think so. I believe it was.
Might have been.
It reminded me of Body Bags a lot.
Mm.
Yeah.
I didn't see anything about that, but could be.
Okay. Well, we're on to the Dark Half.
Wes Anderson redo this film.
Oh, me too.
Ooh. Yeah.
He's got a new movie coming out.
I know.
And Fall 2 is coming too.
What?
Fall 2. I just heard Fall 2 they're making it.
Oh, okay. So two.
Still falling.
Back to The Dark Half, 1993. This was directed by George Romero. I had no idea he directed this film. And I got to say, George Romero, man, he's a really good director. He really is. He's got his own style. And I was really impressed with this movie, just with George Romero's directing style. And he's got this. It was so polished than some of his other, you know, films, you know, this guerrilla warfare, you know, style. When he actually has a budget, man, he knows how to direct, in my opinion. Michael Rooker was a surprise in this film. But I think he's a horrible cop. I don't know why he didn't lock up Timothy Hutton at the very beginning. All these murders wouldn't have happened. And I have to say one thing that I think George Romero really screwed up with was these baby twins. Every time he put the camera on the twins, they would have a dub over with these cutesy baby, you know, Goo Goo Gaga kind of things. And it just took me out of the film. And the fact that these babies were in like the climax of, you know, the whole entire film and things are happening and it's supposed to be suspenseful. He would shoot to these babies and they would be dubbed over with these cutesy baby things, you know, sounds. And it just took me out of the film. And I hated that about it. But I thought it was good. It reminded me a lot of just some of other Stephen King films with you know, authors, and kind of reminded me a little bit of Secret Window. Has kind of like the same premise. But I really enjoyed it. I was thoroughly enjoyed with Romero's directing. Joey, what did you think, Ben?
I had never seen this before. This was on my list of movies that I needed to get to at some point in time or another. And I really enjoyed it. Some of the visuals in this film were wonderful. I love the eyeball in the brain, the whole concept about his twin just got dissolved. And, you know, I love the fact that the kid at the beginning of this entire movie is wearing a Castle Rock High School t-shirt. Timothy Hutton actually does a fantastic job. I had grown to not like Timothy Hutton just because Secret Window is one of my favorite movies and he's an antagonist in it. The photographer character in this film at the beginning, very bizarre. And there's a phrase that he used, I think twice, going to do it up brown for you. I don't know what that means. I never got around to looking it up, but that one caught me off guard.
It's got to be a Northeastern term, you know?
Yeah, I guess. Like if very I'm from Stephen Castle King. Rock, I know it. Yeah.
Very yeah. Stephen King.
Right. Right.
And it was probably Northeastern phrase like in 1955.
Probably.
You know, he kind of brings back that vernacular. Again, some of the imagery, the turkey bleeding in the oven and his wife shattering like china. I loved those effects. I thought they were fantastic. The birds are creepy. And I agree with you, Mark. I wish they had done something a little creepier with the twins. They were really cutesy. I mean, it didn't take me out. I just thought that was a missed opportunity. I mean, they didn't need to go full like the Shining twins, but when you've got an individual who basically ate their twin in the womb or absorbed their twin, you would think there would have been a bigger playoff of that with the fact that he had twins of his own. This movie had some fantastic bumbling cops. Like they didn't do a really good job when they were going to his editor's apartment and checking the place before letting him in. It's like they cleared one room and said, all right, everything's okay. You can go right back in. And then, you know, 2 minutes later, yeah, he's dead.
Yeah.
And wasn't there like two cops already dead in there? It's like, so didn't the cops supposed to know the cops were in there? So why didn't they say, right, hey, Bert or Ernie or whatever? It's like, where are you?
Yeah, no, that was one of my notes too, that they just walked in and said, oh, looks like everything's fine. I'm like, no, look around the
look
place.
Take three steps into the building.
Right, exactly.
I'll get you Chinese food. Oh, that's so nice.
On the whole, I really did. I enjoyed this film. I think the birds thing was creepy. I was glad to see that. You know, getting pecked to death is just, that's, you know, too many birds, too many flapping moving parts. So I enjoyed it. Yeah.
Yeah, I love the alter ego with Timothy Hutton, and it was, you know, as George Stark, it was hit, that character was just screaming Stephen King, like back in the 50s, and, you know, greasy, and he had these one-liners and whatnot. So Stephen King and
Muscle Car.
Yeah, Muscle Car and whatnot. He's got the one-liner. He's got the cigarette dangling. And I love the transformation of him getting sicker and sicker because he's, you know, losing control of, like, the other half. I love that contrast of it. James, what do you think of this film?
This one kind of lies a little above the In the Mouth of Madness for me when it comes to comparing so far about movies about writers. I like Timothy Hutton a little more than perhaps Joe does. I've always been a fan of the guy. And I also like the energy. Like, I like what George Romero did here. Like, I like the ambience. I like the feel of it. I like the characters. It feels very Stephen King to me. It just feels like it belongs in that world. I think it could have been done a little better. I think George Romero, he's one of my favorite directors, but he has a kind of cheapness to his style to an extent. When you see certain of his films, it's kind of maybe the acting in Day of the Dead.
It's not, or, you know what I mean? It's not detail.
It's not detail. But with that said, I think this, and it's interesting. This was kind of based, this, you know, kind of inspired partially by Stephen King's, you know, his writing and Richard Bachman. So it's kind of an autobiographical story for him. It's an interesting movie. Not my favorite, but it held up a little better than I remembered. I kind of thought it'd be worse than it was, but it's better than I remember. I liked it. I liked it a lot.
Yeah. I think it holds up. And yeah, you're absolutely right with Richard Bachman. Actually, I got a little thing, little story. It's not too long, guys. Don't worry. But I remember picking up a book, and it was a Richard Bachman book, and it was thinner. And I had no idea that Stephen King was Richard Bachman, and I was reading it, and I was going, man, this guy writes like Stephen King. He really writes like him. And I was so happy. I was like patting myself on the back when I found out actually Richard Bachman was Stephen King. I was like, oh, I actually, you know, kind of like, you know Stephen King's, you know, style of writing. So it was a little pat on the back for me. Matt.
Yeah, my brother has the first edition hardcover of Thinner that said Richard Bachman. Yeah. I don't like this movie. I remember seeing it the first time. I didn't like it, and I think it doesn't hold up any better now. I do like Michael Rooker, but as a cop, I mean, I hate movies where so much of the premise is based around cops just not doing their jobs. You know, and it's not even handled ironically or in a way that you know, it's just, you know, he's being such a nice guy, even though he has every reason to believe that this guy's the one.
It was a different time, Matt.
Yeah, right. back in 1993, there were a lot more.
Pre-9/11, they used to happen all the time.
Yeah. But for me, it dragged, and I really struggled sticking with it. I agree what you said about the child was almost laughable, the voice, but Timothy Hutton was fine to me. It's not, it really doesn't, in Amy Madigan, who sometimes I think can be a little annoying at times. She didn't bother me that much in this either, but
that's high praise, man. She didn't bother me that much in this.
No, I mean, you know, I had no problem
taking home
her.
The Oscar.
But
what other films was Amy Madigan in? I mean, I know I've seen her before.
Crimes of the Heart.
Yeah.
Haven't seen that.
Iowa Baseball.
Oh, God.
Joe, sit up. Field of Dreams. I can't hear you very well.
The Field of Dreams.
Yeah, Field of Dreams. Yeah. Oh, that's right.
Yeah. She was in The Hunt. She was, Field of Dreams.
Oh, yeah.
She was in Pollock. She's been Uncle Buck. She's been in a ton of stuff.
Yeah.
Great. Yeah. Great. I like it. She's married to Ed Harris, so
right, exactly.
Oh, she is.
Yeah.
Oh, poor girl.
Yeah. He's
no! Show some respect.
He's a great guy.
Ed Harris is awesome.
I love Ed Harris. It's just he scares the shit out of me. He's so angry all the time.
Yeah.
He's not. And like, if you see him, and he's so chill. He's not like that.
That's really
cool. He's totally cool. Yeah.
I just love the fact that. That Ed Harris almost punched out James Cameron on the set of Abyss. I love that.
Probably deserved it.
Yeah, probably did deserve it. Anyway, yeah, it's not one of my favorites. Don't really care for it too much, but
don't know.
Okay, here we go, guys. Here we go. Death Trap.
I didn't watch it.
I thought we were just watching horror movies.
I don't.
So. Yeah.
I don't know if I had the energy for this. I don't.
We could just skip it.
I don't know, dude. I don't think you have the energy for what we're about.
Buck up, Mark. Buck up. All right.
Look at the name. Death Trap.
1982. Look at my name. Yeah, I saw it, Joe. It says not a horror film. Joe's, it's funny, Joe's got ready a note to go.
It says the same thing. Not a horror film.
Oh, fuck. Yeah. It is. It's a psychological thriller. So here we are, guys. Death Trap from 1980. Okay, guys. Everyone go on mute. Every single one of you go on mute right now.
Should we just hang up?
Mute. Mute. Everyone mute. All right. Hello, CineScare listeners. Hello. We are here.
I'd like you to get the fuck out of here.
All right. No little sound clips. No little sound clips. Damn it. Death Trap from 1982, directed by Sidney Lumet, starring Michael Caine, Christopher Reeve, and Diane Cannon. Death Trap was a huge Broadway play in the 1970s, written by Ira Levine, who wrote Rosemary's Baby and The Stepford Wives. Now on Broadway, Death Trap was so popular, it went into the record books as the largest running mystery play in Broadway history. Don't even get in here. Mystery. I know you guys are going, it's a mystery. It's a psychological thriller, horror.
Black comedy.
And yeah, it is a comedy. It is a comedy.
I don't see color.
Okay, so
black comedy, not horror. Black comedy.
Mute yourselves. There was never any question that this was going to be into a movie, which was given two thumbs up by Ebert and Siskel, and Liam Lacey from the Toronto Globe and Mail says this psychological thriller is wonderfully absurd. Michael Caine plays a Broadway playwright who, after years being the golden boy of the theater, suddenly has a reversal of fortune. His latest play flops, and he finds himself in a financial crisis. But then an unsolicited script arrives in the mail from a young screenwriter, Christopher Reeve, who is a fan of Michael's and wants his advice on what he has written. And suddenly a devious plot is hatched where Michael will steal that script and murder Reeves. But just when you think what is going on, twists and turns are thrown at you, and this film turns into a wonderful kinetic psychological thriller that ranks high up in my favorite movie. You may unmute. Go ahead, guys. All right.
Well,
hi, guys.
Pick one of us.
Just hang on.
You did none of this.
What's that?
You did none of this as Michael Caine.
Well, no. True.
Yeah.
I was waiting for the Michael Caine impression.
Did you work on that?
Even if impression? It was unsolicited.
I worked on it, but it's really hard to do. I guess I don't have the talent to do
it. Michael Caine.
I'm Michael Caine. And you're all going to put me in a penitentiary. I don't. Like, okay.
That's just you yelling. You.
I can't do it. I can't do it. I tried the low. See, I can't do it. It's, you know.
That's not bad.
Okay. So, it's the closest thing to modern Hitchcock, in my opinion. It reminds me of Psycho and Hitchcock's underrated and hardly viewed Rope. This is a psychological thriller. Matt's doing faces that
I'm
usually do.
Mark faces.
Yeah. What? Really? Huh? Yeah. No, I believe it's a psychological thriller. It does remind me of Rope. It is Hitchcocking. It's, Agatha Christie kind of like feel with mysteries. Mm. It's basically, we have two sociopaths. Playing like cat and mouse
social
in the
paths.
Same room. Social paths.
Unsolicited social paths.
You know, you have two social paths.
You can go down the left social path.
Or you can go down
the right social path.
Oh, he's a real social path, that guy.
God, Joe.
Maybe you should take the social media path.
Joe last night was texting. He's going, you can't even say, what was it? I forgot what word I said wrong on my voice text.
Pick a word.
Flip through the dictionary. Just stick your finger in there somewhere.
Oh, yeah. Man. I love this film. I think it, I mean, I saw it in the movie theater back in 1982. My parents dragged me into it. And I was scared to death because of the name Death Trap. And it scared the fuck out of me. And rewatching it, I love this film.
Me too.
You were a gentle child at the time.
Yeah, right? You were.
It's 1982. I don't even know how. I think it was like 10 years old when that, or 9 years old when that film came out. Go ahead,
Joe. In my review, can I just say I agree with everything Mark said so we can just move on to a horror film?
Absolutely not. Joe, go ahead. What do you think of this film?
I thought Superman 3 was scarier than this. That part with the robot at the end and the acid, that was far scarier. I don't know. I mean, it was fine. It was a film I watched. I don't remotely consider it to be horror. Mary Poppins is scarier than this.
Wow. But, wow, Mary Poppins is scarier than Death Trap.
All those penguins come alive, animation and everything. That's just weird.
Jesus.
Yeah, I mean, it. I don't know. Diane Cannon was gorgeous in it.
Yeah, she's lovely.
Yeah. I don't have a whole lot to say about it.
She's a scream queen.
I love the special effects. The blood looked a little too red for me. I don't know. Matt?
Well, I get, you know, that sometimes we'll pick a movie that is horror, a little horror adjacent, or that there's stuff that's in the realm or whatever, but this is, I think, like Seven? This is, you can't compare this to Seven. Seven is way more horror than this. It's not even close. This is by far the least horror pick we've ever had. Now, I can't think of one that was less horror related than this, but it is a mystery, and mysteries are in the general genre realm. But well, I guess it's a mystery. I mean, it's more of three characters.
Somebody had to do it.
Who will do it is really what it comes down to, because nothing was really done.
It's not a whodunit.
Right. But I think that this is one of those things where it was probably a really, really good play. But
yes,
not every play is ripe for being made into a film. And sometimes I think this needed some changing. It's hard to watch a movie that's set in one room like this, you know. And it doesn't, I mean, I guess Reservoir Dogs basically did the same thing, but
Misery,
it was way better, and Misery's better than this. I don't care for it too much. I think it's just I think its pacing is off a little. I think it's okay. I didn't hate it. I wasn't bored. I was, you know, I had seen it a long time ago though. Joe was bored, but I wasn't bored. Joe. I don't think of it as horror. My wife was watching it with me, and she was like, "Well, I'm not going to have trouble getting to sleep tonight."
Oh my God!
What are you watching Sesame Street for?
I begged Matt. I said, "Please have Michelle watch this film with you, please." Yeah, no, she was going to love it.
Yeah, no, she didn't. And then we watched something else, and she was like, "Man, he's like two for two on these." What was it? I think it was the Dark Half or something. did he pick a horror movie this time? But I don't know. Jimmy,
what do you think?
Save me at a loss for words for a podcast.
I mean,
don't take my side, James. Don't take my side. If you want to go in, go in.
You forgot his birthday. What makes you think he's going to take your side?
Why would I take your side?
When was his birthday?
I enjoy this movie. It's a black comedy. It's like Harold and Maude. It's like It's like it's
you
like
fucking that, asshole.
It's not a horror film at all.
Harold and Maude. Where did that even come from?
It's a dark comedy. It's a dark comedy. That's about death. This is about death. It's a play. It's a play, Mark. It's a play. It's a stage play, and it's a good one. They did Sidney Lumet's a great director. He did Serpico. He did Dog Day Afternoon. This is a well-made movie, and Ira Levin's a very good writer. He's a very good writer.
Jimmy, would you agree that mysteries are close? You know, they can generally, often, some of them anyway, can be kind of crossover or at least horror adjacent. Something like Clue, that is a comedy, but it's also a mystery and has some kind of, I don't know if I'd mystery? Say spooky, but it's closer to horror than this is by far, right?
Almost everything is closer to horror than that.
If Jesus Matt, Christ. If you are horror and this movie is a very distant relative, I think it's so far removed that you could marry this movie and not worry about birth defects on your children.
Our kids would be fine.
Yeah. Yes. Your kids would be fine. Sure. Yeah.
This is about as horror. I mean, I was more terrified by Paddington and Paddington 2. Because there's some scary things.
Don't bring Paddington 2.
It's a bear. You never know when that bear is going to freak out and do cocaine.
And to be fair,
it happens.
Paddington 1 and 2 are two of the best films ever made. They're fantastic movies.
Paddington 2 is amazing. I will say that.
And it's scarier than this film. Look, it's a good film, Mark. It's a good film. We're very proud of you. But
you're a nice boy.
You're telling me about you.
Look, you're telling me that when Christopher Reeve came through that window all bloody.
Of the closet?
No, oh my God.
Out of the window. It was out of the window. It was a little bit of a plot twist because everyone thought he was dead.
Oh my God, really?
It was a scary scene.
No.
Kind of reminded me of Friday the 13th a little bit. It was awesome. It was great.
It was just a cool bit. It was just like Evil Dead guys would when she was cutting off her arm, except it was nothing
just like, you know, it's kind of like the wood cabin. He came through. It's kind of like an 80s vibe. They're all wearing 80s clothes. It reminded me a little bit of Friday the 13th when he's like coming after her. And it was excellent. This can be scary. I mean, horror is different for everybody and different, you know, interpretations of horror. I think this film has some horror elements in it. A lot of mystery. There's some scares in it. Some great screams by Cannon. I think she's one of the greatest scream queens ever. Yes.
She'd have to do a movie though. She'd have to do more.
All right. Joe's telling me to move it on. So we're going to move on to, of course, Joe's favorite film, I guess, of all time. And that would be Secret Window.
Not of all time.
Not of all time. Not of all time. But Joe seems
really like that.
Joe seemed very, very excited about this film to review. So Secret Window, 2004, a successful writer going through a horrific divorce, is stalked at his remote lake house by a would-be scribe who accuses him of plagiarism. This is starring Johnny Depp, who was hot and fresh off the boat, just starring in the Pirates of the Caribbean. It also stars Maria Bello, John Turturro, and Timothy Hutton, and the wonderful Charles S. Dutton. Directed by David Cope. Directed by David Cope from Stir of Echoes and You Should Have Left. I'm going to hold my opinion on this film. Let's go with James with this one.
Well, I think the first thing I did notice, Johnny Depp kind of looks like me in this movie.
No.
You need some blonde highlights in your hair.
Yeah, I'll put those blonde highlights. Maybe. Yeah, it could work.
Other than that, Dead Ringer.
And a haircut.
Nah, he's got long hair. So, I like this movie. It's fine. I it wasn't really anything spectacular. I thought was kind of, I like Johnny Depp's performance. Totoro's fine. There's something I just felt very low energy. There was something about it, and I thought it maybe would connect now because I saw it when it way back when it came out. I was kind of bored, honestly. It doesn't, it really doesn't work for me. It's fine. It's a fine movie, and I get why people, Joe, I get why it's your favorite movie of all time. But it is, well, it is.
I think I've been misquoted.
You may have. It is scarier than Death Trap. I will say that. It's scarier than Death Trap. Yeah. So that's my review. It's scarier than Death Trap.
All right.
Joe.
Matt.
Well, at least it was a horror movie, you know. I agree, Jimmy. I it's just okay. I didn't like it that much the first time I saw it. I thought it was all right. I think the ending is incredibly dumb. I just don't like the ending. I don't like that thing that he does where he's screaming like his child. I don't know if you've seen the rah thing at the end. When I first saw it, I was like, what the hell is he doing? I thought the whole ending was unintentionally comedic. And then when I saw the making of, he's talking about the fact that when he goes rah, rah, he's doing what this sound his son does. And it's just, I found it kind of goofy. But you know, up to the ending, I thought it was all right. I thought it was just, you know, it was just an okay, nice little movie, and I Johnny Depp is good in it. I love Maria Bello. I think she's great in everything. But it's just okay. John Turturro is I you know, always love him, but it's just all right to me.
Yeah, there was I was actually distracted by Timothy Hutton's little bump in between his nose and his cheek. Did you guys notice that? In this film, it was very obvious. None of you noticed it. Huh?
I didn't notice.
It was so obvious, I didn't notice it.
It. I don't know if he was growing a mold or mole or whatever it was.
He's growing mold.
Yeah, spores. I've been harvesting mine lately.
Right. There were some wonderful subtle scenes in this film. when Depp and his wife and her lover Timothy Hutton was in the lawyer's office, and she takes off her sweater, and Depp glances over and looks at her breasts, and she realizes he's, you know, looking. She pulls up the sweater, and I think that was just brilliant storytelling right there. I mean, it's telling the audience, you know, he hasn't been with a woman in a long time, and it shows the emotional tears that this guy is going through a divorce. I mean, if...
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah, there's... The divorce was so interesting in what... I guess, you know, any man goes through, you know, a breakup or a divorce. I've never gone through a divorce. That's one of the reasons why, you know, getting married, never been married, but it scares the shit out of me, because going through that, I don't think I could even handle, like, when he grabs onto the phone and he's strangling it, you know, when he's talking to his wife on the couch. That was wonderful. I had no problem with this movie. You know, it was a playful movie with great performances, except for the poor casting of the great John Turturro. I did not like John Turturro in this film. I thought it was horrible casting. Every time I saw John Turturro in this film, it took me out of it. Yeah, the accent, the Southern accent. I mean, place it on me. I'm just too ingrained with some of his other films, like Do the Right Thing or whatnot. Well, it's
basically the same accent he has in Oh Brother, Where Art Thou?
Yeah, correct. But I mean, that film was great. This one, not so much. True. You know, it just took me out of it. I mean, you could have casted, I believe, another actor for this part. I love John Turturro, but man, this is, I think, one of his worst performances I think I've ever seen, and not I don't think it's his fault. He's just poorly casted. I don't think he fit this this role. But yeah, and another thing, in this film, the first kill doesn't happen until an hour and 2 minutes into this film. An hour and 2 minutes. And the kills were off screen.
That's not true.
That what?
The dog.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. The fucking dog, which was killed off screen, too. Yeah, this movie wasn't scary for me at all. I wasn't bored with it. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed Johnny in it. It was great to see him. Little nuances of Johnny Depp that, you know, he just seemed that he can't just get rid of, like, nowadays in these films that he does. But I mean, I thought it was a good film. I loved the ending. Not so much. I loved the fact that he kind of got away with it. That's what I enjoyed about it. I can't believe that he got away with it. It's like, how do you not find any DNA, you know, throughout the whole entire house, especially when he beheaded Timothy Hutton, which I absolutely loved.
Right. Well, and the other thing I found so dumb was that room with what's the name guy's name? Stryker, or what's his name?
Shooter.
Like, oh yeah, that Shooter. Room. Shooter's written on every wall.
It was like Red Rum.
Yeah,
you know,
sweet shoot Jesus, her. That was dumb.
Yeah.
So, Joe, tell us about your favorite horror film.
So, I liked this film. I still like this film. It is not my favorite film of all time. That would be Death Trap. First off, I love the cabin. I just think he's got a wonderful setup there. I love his relationship with his cleaning lady, too. I just thought it was funny how he's behind her back, always wanting to punch her in the back of the head. The worst thing I think about this film is the fact that his dog gets killed. But I like some of the imagery in this. You know, there's a Fight Club-ish type vibe to this all. And the maroon jacket that he's wearing is kind of like Jack Torrance's jacket in The Shining, and the whole Shooter, shoot her, and Red Rum, that sort of tie-in. I really enjoyed the imagery, the setup for the Magritte painting, where he's looking in the mirror and sees the back of his head. It's a Magritte reproduction. It's in my notes. La Reproduction Interdite is the name of the Magritte painting that they were trying to emulate in that film. I don't know. I enjoyed that part. Again, we've got bumbling cops. That cop is just absolutely terrible because he could care less about what's going on because he's too busy crocheting. And I don't know. That was about it. I agree with Mark. I like the fact that he gets away with it. I don't understand the thing that he constantly is doing with his jaw. They never really answer that where... You know, it's like he's trying to unhinge it or click it or something. Mm-hmm.
Isn't that why he put braces on at the end or something?
No, like he put braces on because when he was fighting with his wife kicks him in the teeth.
Oh, that's
and that's why his braces. Mouth is all bloody. And then the next scene you see him when he goes shopping and he buys Morton Salt, which his name is Morton Rainey. And Morton Salt's tagline is "When it rains, it pours."
Oh my
God. See a nice little tie-in there too. That's the first time that you see him after getting kicked in the teeth, and that's why he's got braces and he's got to get some things straightened out. I don't know. I thought parts of this movie were clever enough that I was entertained. I've seen worse Stephen King films. I've seen worse films in general. I always like this one. I don't know why. So
that's enough.
Okay. All right. Well, and on to the last one, save the best for last, in my opinion, and that's Misery, 1990. It's one of my
directed
favorite.
Directed by Meathead.
It's directed by, yeah, All in the Family, got it.
Of all people.
Yeah, directed by Rob Reiner. I saw this movie in the movie theater, and the next night I went to see it again. Then I bought the book, and I was in in-school suspension, so I read half the book, just page after page. Yeah, this is Stephen King, which in my opinion is up there with some of his best work ever written, in my opinion. Misery manifested to life because Stephen King wrote The Eyes of the Dragon, and it was somewhat of a children's book for his children to read. But once it came out, it was panned by his fans because it didn't involve much horror in it. And frustrated, King felt like he was locked into only horror, and he lashed out by writing his next novel, Misery, a book about a author being trapped and kidnapped by his biggest fan. It's a phenomenal book, and when the great Rob Reiner, who was on a hot streak directing movies, made a masterpiece, in my opinion, starring James Caan, Richard Farnsworth, the lovely Richard Farnsworth. I watch him all day. Wish it was a movie just about him and his wife. And, of course, the lovely Kathy Bates playing the bipolar serial killer Annie Wilkes, which won her a Best Actress in the Academy Awards, which I believe was well-deserved, well-deserved. Matthew, help me out.
This is a good movie. I like Misery. Yeah. And I think this is an example of a movie that takes place mostly in a room and does it really well. But that's because the script is tight. The direction, mm-hmm. you know, Rob Reiner can direct. He knows what he's doing. He's and I wish he'd done more horror, frankly. You know, I know he's known mostly for comedies, especially or dramas. I guess he did a few Good Men, but you know, When Harry Met Sally and things like that. But I would love to have seen a little bit more of this kind of thing from him. But yeah, Kathy Bates is fantastic in it. James Caan, and I don't want to say he was the weak link, but he's not. I mean, I think Farnsworth is amazing, and Kathy Bates is great. But James Caan, you know, sometimes James Caan kind of rises to the level of whoever he's working with. And I've seen him in some movies where he just seems like he's cashing a paycheck. But in this one, I thought he was really good and subtle and played off of Kathy Bates really well. I hadn't seen this one probably since maybe the 90s. I can't remember the last time I watched it. So it had been a long time. I hadn't revisited it because I think knowing what happens in this makes it even more tense to me. And I think the tension in this is just so strong. And even knowing what happens, I'm watching it this time, like, I felt the tension. I felt that sense of dread. And part of that, I think, comes from that. I hate scenes where somebody breaks a leg. Not that I hate them, but those really get to me, you know. And that whole scene set up so wonderfully, the music and the way she goes about it methodically and sets it up. And he's like, oh, please don't. And then we see it. Like, I thought I remember the first time I saw it, I thought they were going to cut away before she did it. I did not think you would actually see the breaking of the leg, but wow, that was fantastic.
Did you see it? Did you see it in the movie theater, Matt?
No, I actually saw it when it came out on video. I didn't see it at the movie theater, but yeah, no, that scene though, I was like, whoa, they showed it. I thought they'd cut away, you know, but, yeah, good movie. I like this one. This is probably, I think this is my favorite of the bunch for sure.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Cause, I remember when I was in the theater and when the hobbling, scene happened, I mean, the crowd was just screeching, people were like jumping up. I'll never forget it. And I wanted to experience that scene again with the crowd. And that's half the reason why I went the next night. I said, I got to see this again with an audience. And in the book, it's even worse. I mean, she chops off his foot and cauterizes it with a blowtorch, which is Yeah, it's much worse. And she also cuts off Paul Sheldon's thumb because he wouldn't release the ending of the book to her, and so she cuts off his thumb. I mean, it in the book, it goes graphic, 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 graphic.
Ooh, I'd love to see a version like that.
That would be a great Mike Flanagan film to do, like on Netflix, to revisit Misery, going straight with what the novel did. That would be really interesting to see. I mean, I wouldn't be bothered, you know, if they remade this film, going straight, you know, hardcore with the book. That would be phenomenal to watch. James, what do you think of Misery?
No, it's an excellent film. Kathy is so absolutely stunning. I'm a big proponent of, I think horror movies get a very, very, very bad rap when it comes to Academy Awards. It's ridiculous because there's been so many great performances in horror movies that could at least be in the running, at least be nominated, maybe not win. I would even Vera Farmiga in freaking The Conjuring. She was fucking fantastic in that movie. So it was nice to see Kathy get the respect for this role. It's a superb performance. Superb. I agree with you, Matt. James Caan is, I think he has a subtlety here, which is better than some of his other performances. Mm-hmm. Love the supporting cast. Frances Sternhagen, we didn't mention, I don't believe. She's just always
right.
Terrific.
Right.
You know, always a great actress. Rob Reiner really knew he built the suspense so well that, like, you're just kind of like, yeah, like you said, you know what's going to happen. You know exactly where it's going. Still watching that hobbling scene is just horrendous. It's just uncomfortable. I would defer from Clive Barker here or Mark. I would not want to see this remade. There is no reason to remake.
Well, that's true. Yeah.
There's just no reason. It's like if it's just a couple gore shots, I don't care. I want to see, too many times we tried to do that just to amp up the gore, and it loses the freaking heart of it. And this movie is a well-made movie. This is an exceptional.
Yeah. It's
easily one of the best top five Stephen King cinematic film versions.
Possibly.
Yeah.
Joe, what do you think, buddy?
I want to first off say yes, I absolutely love this film. As far as the how I would rank Richard Farnsworth is hands down my favorite character in this entire. Then Kathy Bates is second and the sheriff's wife is third. I don't know that I agree with the subtlety of James Caan. From what I read, he was drunk most of the time. He lost an entire day's worth of shooting because he was so drunk. And when Rob Reiner was confronted about it by James Caan, Rob Reiner tried to cover and he said, "Oh, well, we didn't get that footage back from the lab. And there was an issue there, so we have to reshoot it." And then later on, James Caan found out the real reason they had to reshoot it is because he was drunk so bad and his performance was terrible. So they threw it away. So James Caan actually offered to pay for that entire day's worth of reshoots because he felt so bad about, you know, what he did to the rest of the cast in the film.
Wow.
Now, that being said, yeah, I put him fourth on my list, but I mean, he's still, I think, a tremendous performance. What we see on film is fantastic. I agree with what you said, Matt. Like, I can't believe they actually showed the hobbling. Although the one scene that they should have cut away a little bit quicker on is when Kathy Bates falls, or the prop head falls and hits her head on the typewriter at the end. I went back and rewatched that a couple times, and that was not anywhere near as believable as the hobbling scene, which is just tremendous.
I never noticed that. It's not too believable.
I didn't notice that at all. Go back and freeze frame that one.
Okay.
It's worth saying.
I think Kathy Bates earned every single bit of praise. Oscar, in my opinion, was a no-brainer for her on this one. You know, she deserved every cock-a-doody vote that she got that year. I also it's the saddest point in this entire film for me is when Richard Farnsworth gets shot in the chest. It's just, I hate watching that scene. It's like, oh, he was so close.
It was brutal. Yeah. Such a brutal scene, death scene. You cared about him so much. And then you always think about his wife just going, she just lost the love of her life. It's so brutal.
And I agree. If there was going to be another movie that has anything to do with this, is I just want to, like, there should have been a TV sitcom version of just the sheriff and his wife and just solving mysteries and crimes throughout Castle Rock or wherever they were at. That's something I would have been glued every Tuesday night to watch on
ABC. I would have watched that. That's a good idea.
Yeah. So anyway, great film. Probably, again, despite Secret Window being in here, it's still my favorite of the bunch that we watched.
Yeah, it's as much as I love Harrison Ford. Harrison Ford was offered this role before James Caan, and I'm glad Harrison Ford did not take it.
Did you know Bruce Willis did this on Broadway?
Yes, and
James Caan.
It was. Yeah. I guess it was pretty bad because he was dealing with some disabilities that were coming up, and made him retire from acting. But I guess, some of it was happening when he was on stage. So I guess he got some pretty poor reviews for that. But I forgot, Roseanne's sister. What's her name? Oh, dang it.
Laurie Metcalf.
Yeah, she played Annie Wilkes. And I guess she was phenomenal as Annie Wilkes.
I heard she was great. I heard she was the best thing in it. Yeah.
All right, guys. So I apologize for some of the non-scary films. But I did enjoy this topic because I picked it. But it was a nice little branch off from some of the films that we've been watching, make you think a little bit, so author's themed. So I guess we move on to Mr. Matthew Speak. He's been thinking about a great topic on the way. So take it away.
Well, this weekend, Renfield is coming out. So I thought I would do vampire horror movies in celebration of Renfield. So we're going to start off with a kind of a hidden gem, definitely a hidden gem. This is one
The Lost Boys?
No. This is one that I saw a couple years ago on, and it's on YouTube, or you can rent it on Amazon if you don't want to watch a movie on YouTube. And it is called The Midnight Hour. This is starring Sherry Belafonte, Cindy Morgan from Caddyshack, and Dick Van Patten is in it. But it's Wolfman Jack. It's a fun one. It's a very
you should have led off with Wolfman Jack.
Got me interested now.
Yeah. I've seen this one. It's fun. It's
Macaulay Culkin is in it. It's
what?
What the fuck?
Wolfman Jack and Macaulay Culkin in the same film?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's a really fun one. This is from 1985. And it is a lot of fun. This is a fun movie. I think you're really going to enjoy it. It's a hidden gem. You can find it for free on Amazon, YouTube, or you can rent it on Amazon if you would rather not watch it on YouTube. But I think you're going to enjoy it. It's one. What was the movie that we saw recently that was a TV movie that actually looked pretty good? I can't remember. What was the one? With the mailman. What was that? This with the scarecrow.
Yep.
What?
It was really
for
good.
A while.
Yeah, it was really good. I can't remember whose pick it was. Was it Joe's or?
It wasn't even a pick. It was just like a random movie that I watched.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah. So anyway, I'll move on. But then the next one, and we're going to stay in 1985, and we're going to stay fun, and that is a movie that I haven't revisited for a while, but I love.
Oh yeah.
Fright Night. Starring Chris Sarandon, Roddy McDowall, among others. So this is a fun one. I was going to pick Renfield as one of our picks, but not everybody knew whether they were going to be able to see it before we record. So I slipped Fright Night in there, which I think it feels like it's going to have a similar tone to Renfield, although I think Renfield is probably a little bloodier than Fright Night, but horror comedy, right? Next, we move up to 1993, Guillermo del Toro's film debut, Kronos.
Never seen it.
let me go back. Fright Night is available on Pluto TV or for rent in various services. Kronos, which is Guillermo del Toro's debut from 1993. This is available on HBO Max, Criterion Channel, and for rent on various services. And Kronos is spelled C-R-O-N-O-S. Mm-hmm. Have any of you guys seen that one?
Nope, never seen it.
No.
Okay.
I've seen all so far, but I'm loving the picks.
Good.
Hey, Matt.
Yeah.
It was Dark Knight of the Scarecrow.
That's right. Dark Knight of the Scarecrow. Yep. Yep. It's very, it's not the same story, but it's very similar. Like, you'll be surprised that this was a TV movie when you see The Midnight Hour. The next movie is from 1995. This one is The Addiction, starring Lily Taylor, Christopher Walken, Annabella Sciorra, Edie Falco, Michael Imperioli. Who else is in this? There's a whole bunch of people in this. It's an amazing
cast. Joe's going to love this one, Matt. Joe's going to love it.
Is he? Or are you laughing?
Matt,
are you going to do this one with your Christopher Walken impersonation?
My impersonation? No, I don't have one. This is directed by Abel Ferrara, who directed one of my favorite finds of the last couple of years, Ms. 45. And this is on Shudder. Or
what's the name of the film?
The Addiction.
The Addiction.
Yeah. From 1995. It's starring Lily Taylor.
Lily Taylor is quite good in it. I liked it a lot. Yeah. Talk about more.
Last but not least, this is from 2009, Thirst, from Park Chan-wook, who directed Old Boy, The Handmaiden, Decision to Leave, Stoker, among many others. He is a master of Korean film. And so I know Joe's a big fan of Old Boy.
Old Boy, Lady Vengeance, Sympathy for Mr. Vengeance, three of the best revenge movies ever, period. Yeah.
So this is Thirst by him. So we move on to to Korean horror. So
is Joe big on Joe? Are you big on subtitles and slow moving horror?
Subtitles don't bother me. Slow moving horror does.
Although you were fine with Memories of Murder, so and that wasn't exactly So Joe will surprise you. Don't
like
count him out.
Both versions of Old Boy, by the way.
Yeah, and he's a big fan of Old Boy. So
you like the remake?
Oh yeah, I liked it.
I wasn't a fan. Was not a fan. I love the original, but was not a fan of the remake.
And I don't know if I said it or not, but The Addiction is on Shudder, and Thirst is unfortunately not available on streaming, but it is available for rent on various services. So that's the only one that you need to rent. So again, that is The Midnight Hour on YouTube, Fright Night on Pluto TV, Kronos is on HBO Max, Criterion Channel, or for rent. The Addiction again, and Thirst. So,
Go. Did you specify which Fright Night we're watching?
The original, 1985. Original.
Okay.
1985.
It's a good choices, man.
Thank
I
you,
like
sir.
Pretty unique. I've seen them all, but I think I like them all. There's one I'm not particularly sure if I remember, but yeah.
I've only seen Fright Night, so this is gonna be fun. I thought Once Bitten was going to be in it, but fortunately not, I guess.
No.
Not a horror film.
Now, the other thing I will say is
horror adjacent.
Yeah. If you get a chance to see Renfield, we can talk about it in our new releases part or whatever. So I didn't want to make that one of the picks in case people weren't going to get it, unless any of you guys weren't going to be able to get a chance to see it before we record next time. So, but
definitely
if you do see it, then we can talk about it during our new release part. So, so that will be it for next time. So, any announcements, anything we need to say, Joe? No, we've got go to www.cinescarehorror.com and buy our merchandise. Also, why don't you pop over to Amazon, buy my book, The Last House, or my book, Devil's Glen, Crow Creek, any of those.
Crow Creek.
Yeah.
Mark likes them.
Yeah, Mark liked the last.
That's
house,
a huge so. Endorsement. Yeah, yeah. He was afraid they were going to suck.
No, wait, he was going to be afraid it was going to be terrible.
Well, yeah, I didn't know. It was great.
Mark liked it, so will you.
I understand. Like if somebody asks you to read their book, it's a little, or see their movie, it's a little nerve-wracking.
It's a little daunting, but yeah, it worked out perfectly.
Or design
it was awesome.
A logo for me. Oh, yeah. It's terrible.
Yeah.
Your logos are great.
I know that.
He's just chiming in.
Yeah.
Really. All right. Well,
trying to relate.
That's it for this time. We'll see you next time.
Good night, everybody.
Bye.
Good night. Oh, fucking shit.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Riverside.
Come on. Yo, what's up? What's up?
Yeah.
My name is Superfan Mark. This is CineScare. We're going out like a deer running through the forest, getting hit by trees or cars. I ain't a rapper.
The cars? I'm so confused.
Everybody look around. Everybody look around. Can't you see? I'm nice and safe and sound. I got nothing, man. I got nothing. I can't do it again. I can't do it again.